He is on the line with us right now. The legend, Howard Eskin. Hi, Howard.
Good morning. Right. Oh, you're not very happy this morning.
Well, we're very upset, Howard, but you can help us to understand some stuff that went on in the game. Obviously, the first play everybody's talking about. You were reporting on what the refs were telling to Doug Peterson. How is he receiving the idea that they could not see who actually recovered the football?
Well, there's nothing he can do. He can only talk to the official. But here's part of the problem. When you're talking to the official, I forget what his last name is, the referee.
Blakeman.
Okay. He doesn't make that decision.
Right.
That's the problem. It's the guy named Alberto Riveron,
yep,
who's the head of officials in New York. And when I talked to him, I know Blakeman, and he talked to me during one of the timeouts, and I asked him about the things that happened. The first question I had, believe it or not, was, do they lose a challenge because they were right with the fumble?
Yep.
He says, they lose the challenge and the timeout. I said, that's not going to happen. That's the rule. And then I said, was this decision made from here or in New York? In New York, and we kind of look at it with them, but the decision's made in New York. Now, the other thing, and I called someone in the NFL offices, and they now know that they were wrong on the decision, but it doesn't make any difference that they know they're wrong now.
All right, wait. You're saying they acknowledge they were wrong on the call.
Yeah, I checked with somebody in the office. They acknowledge, and they admit when they make mistakes. I'm waiting to see if they do this publicly, but in calling New York and talking to somebody, they realize that there was a mistake made on the decision to give the ball to the Cowboys.
But it
doesn't do any good.
Right, what's the motive, Howard? This Riveron guy, you're right. That's the guy who makes the final decision. He knows what the rule is. Terry McCauley said yesterday, you don't have to actually see the recovery. If only one team is around the ball, you can make the assumption that team recovered the ball. Why would they make that decision? There has to be some logic behind them making that call. Why?
Well, I can't give you my logic. Is not their logic.
Well, give me yours.
My logic is Dean Blandino, who was the last guy.
Yep.
Remember, he was in the Dallas Cowboys party bus?
Exactly.
Okay, I think this is a conspiracy.
Thank you. You're right, Eskin. He's right, Al. I believe he's right. Are you kidding around or you mean it, Howard?
This is a conspiracy. And I don't know if Jerry Jones has invited him to the party bus during the Super Bowl, which he goes there all the time anyway, whether he's in it or not, because he's not in it. But I think it's a conspiracy in the NFL. Look at the last three games of the Cowboys. Helmet to helmet, again, the Redskins game. Now, they would have won that game anyway, but it wasn't called.
Yep.
Helmet to helmet in the New Orleans game, yep, wasn't called, although the player was fined $25,000.
Yep.
It could have changed the game because it put New Orleans in field goal position. And then this play in the Eagles game, it's a conspiracy.
Howard, you're 100%. And here's why, in case you're wondering why they would do this. Because when the Cowboys play, especially in the big games like the playoffs, the end of the season, they got better ratings than any other team.
Absolutely.
It's a joke. It's a friggin' joke. All right, now there's another one.
It's a joke and a laughing stock. It's a disgrace.
All right, Howard, next point. And this was another great report by Eskin on the sideline. This was fascinating, Howard. I need way more on this. Eagles are not doing a damn thing offensively. It's the third quarter. And you come, they go down to you and you go, all I could tell you is right now, Carson Wentz is with Doug Peterson and Wentz is pointing to plays on the play sheet. It looks like he's trying to get some input in what to call. Tell us what was going on there.
Well, I saw that. They talk when Carson comes up to him on the sidelines. Once in a while, not that often, Doug will come back to the quarterback. It's usually the quarterbacks and the coordinator. But this time, he went up to Doug, and Doug's holding the play sheet, and I see Carson pointing to different plays on the play sheet. I don't know if they use those plays. I heard Doug on with you yesterday, and he said he likes to have the player comfortable, I think is what he said, and he listens to him. So I don't know if at that point he started saying, well, if Carson's comfortable with this place, these plays, then we'll start running these. But I saw he and Doug talking and Carson pointing to the play sheet. And after that, and I don't know how much after that, and I don't know how much input there was, but they did start to generate some offense. So maybe Doug just started to run some plays that Carson told him he was comfortable with.
Right. You know, that's what I took from it. Because really, right after that, Howard, they started moving the ball. And they hadn't before. Do you have any sense for why they can't move the ball early in games? What's going on?
Now, you know, that is the most difficult question, that they can't get off to good starts. It's unbelievable. I mean, most of the time, there's always a mistake, whether it's a block, whether it's a turnover, whatever it is, it's almost impossible to explain that they were different last year than they are this year. And that's the difference. You know, I heard you talking about the Super Bowl celebration. They're not celebrating the Super Bowl. There's a lot of different players there. The displays don't make any difference. That's a bunch of nonsense. They're a different team. Look at their running backs are different. The wide receivers, they miss Torrey Smith. The wide receivers are different. The tight ends are different. The defensive line is different. The secondary is different. This is a different team, and they just don't – they're not as good a team. I think that's the only way that you can explain the results this year. They're just not as good. And some of the players, because they're not playing as good, Carson Wentz isn't playing as well. So there's so many different things. But the more you look at it, the more you realize this is not the same team. This is how bad it is, Angela. Sunday there was 99 offensive plays for the Cowboys, which is the most in NFL history, I believe. And it's an overtime, so I don't know if it would have been the most if there wasn't an overtime. But Corey Graham played every defensive snap. Mm. Rasul Douglas played every defensive snap. Now, you expect Jenkins to be in there, and Nigel Bradham, okay. But to have two guys that weren't even starters, one of them wasn't even on a team a month ago, play every defensive snap. They're just not as good, and they're not the same team.
Wow, you're right about that. All right, Howard. Now I want to read your mind. All right, it's Eagles are moving in to get the game, maybe tied, maybe even up a point, 23-22. They score. Sproles gets in. What did you think Doug would do there?
After the penalty?
No. After the penalty. All right. So they kick it. It's 23-23, but they're 1 yard from the lead for the first time the whole game. 1:39 to go. Did you think he'd pull them back on the field and try to go for two?
The thought was there, but I understand being a tie game. And then I looked up at the board and I saw the Cowboys had two timeouts. So they need a field goal. They would have needed a field goal to win either way. And I'm kind of okay with that. What I wasn't okay with, but he did it. So you say he's not the same guy. When it was 4th and 3, and they were somewhere around midfield, and it's still early enough in the game, and he went for it. I think it was a play that Sproles got.
Yes, it was.
I'm saying, oh, my gosh, is he going to go for this? Mm. And that's him. So he hasn't lost his guts. I won't say his Christmas balls. He hasn't lost it totally, but – the situation's different for this two-point conversion, and he explained it yesterday, and I accept it because he said it's late in the fourth quarter, and then he ran down the time and the timeouts they had, and it's not the third quarter. So I understand it. He did get the game in overtime. But the sad part is the coin flip helps decide the game.
Yeah.
And at that point, think about the defense, how gassed they are. These guys are playing every play.
Well, that's one way to prevent it. Howard, try to win right then.
Well, yeah, but your team's gassed, and they can still come back. And this way, yes, there's all kinds of ways to look at it. Michael Bennett played twice as many plays in Sunday's game as he did the week before, and he's got a bad foot. I see him limping off the field. He's a tough guy.
He was great. He was great in that game.
Off the field.
Yep.
And it's just – Brandon Graham played 83 snaps. You just go right down the list.
Right.
And, yeah, you can try to win it, but that doesn't mean you're going to win it. And if you don't make it, you're afraid that they can run out the clock. At least you feel you have a chance to get it. There's two ways to look at it, and I'm not that upset with that because that didn't decide the game because the Cowboys were going to win. I think they were going to move down the field at that point if they had to. But when they won the coin toss, that's when I started to worry. And that it's too bad that you don't get the other team doesn't get the ball back if the first team scores a touchdown. That's the problem.
I just would like to say directly to you, because I've given up on the season now, Howard, but I would like to say to you that your reports this year made the games more interesting and more fun. You did an amazing job on the sidelines. You really did.
Well, and I'll say this, and I can't believe you're actually complimenting me. But
it's a truth. It's a truth.
The thing is, it's easy to work with Merrill and Mike because they allow me. Some guys just want to go on up in the booth, and they allow me the time to be able to do that. And I know, because there's not that much time between plays, and we got to keep an eye on the field. And I know now, at first, Merrill worried that I would cut into the plays. He doesn't worry about that anymore because I can condense like we do in radio.
All right, that's enough. I'm cutting you off now, Eskin. I want to be like the other people that don't give you enough time. See you later, Howard.
Okay. All right.
No, I got to tell you, Al, I don't get that stuff. Who's that guy? Aaron Andrews on the sideline, all the others. Nobody's getting the stuff that Eskin gets for whatever reason. I don't know why.
He's observant. He sits really there and watches.
I think he knows the intricacies of the game, and he knows where to ask and get the right answers.
No, but I will also tell you this, having done that job, and I know, Al, you've done that job. Jonesy, I don't think they let you do that job.
Thankfully.
Howard gave you a great clue. They allow him to be part of it.
Yeah.